Anybody but me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Red Room Radio. It's another night of the amazing panel of hosts that we have tonight. I know normally I don't open the show, but tonight I'm taking the opportunity to just be able to welcome the great, great group of people that we have in the Red Room, that we've had in the Red Room. And I want to first and foremost thank everyone for being just so dedicated. I mean, to the point where no matter what, you are here every Tuesday night in the Red Room with us. I want to thank my co-host Vic Love, my co-host James, the hardest working man in the DMV. James is in the Red Room with us. We left that JOB thing, came rushing in. And we keep doing what it is that we do every week. I want to thank Lady T, if she's in the Red Room with us tonight. Lady T, are you there with us? If she's not here, she's coming. I also want to thank our dedicated every week. She keeps coming back. Special guest co-host Sarah Lynn, that is
Sarah Lynn.
Welcome.
Thank
you, Sarah Lynn. There's something about your voice that just turns me on.
Oh, my God.
Guys, I just, you know, tonight we all have challenges, and, you know, we just still keep it moving. So I just want to thank everybody. So tonight, I want to open the doors to the Red Room to discuss a challenge that, I mean, a lot of us have had, know someone that has had, or may at some point in our life have. I mean, I wish that we never do, but it is a possibility. And the topic for tonight is face your pain instead of inflicting your pain. And I think, you know, the topic kind of is like, yeah, all right, I already know and understand what it means. You go through something painful, you got to face it, but the inflicting your pain part is a piece that I don't think people really understand the severity of. Because too many times when a person has been emotionally hurt by someone that has experienced a form of emotional devastation that, you know, kind of sets them back a little bit. I mean, if you truly care about someone and that person hurts you, it could possibly devastate you, but you have to find a way to go through that process that you need to process that pain. But what happens is, instead of walking away from the source that caused the pain, and that's the hardest part, that part is harder than anything else. But instead of walking away from the source that caused the pain and processing the pain, moving past the pain, they choose to do several things. And the scenarios that I want to talk about tonight are things that are most common, but what I want all of you guys to do is not just expand on the three topics that, the three areas or scenarios that I have brought up, but I want you to give me examples of other things that you have either seen or experienced can happen as a result of someone failing to process their pain. Now, the three things that I thought of when we came up with this topic was when they don't process the pain and they don't face the pain and deal with it, they drag that baggage into the next relationship.
Mm.
Or they ignore it, and eventually, when you ignore pain, it eventually will manifest into unhealthy behaviors or self-inflicted pain. So it's just nothing more than a transference of pain. Or in the relationship, or stay in the situation that caused the pain, and they end up becoming an emotional bully. Now, these are just three scenarios that I came up with. And as I said, I wanted to just talk about some other things that you could think of or expand on the three topics or the three areas that we've decided to discuss on the show tonight. So I want to start with baggage. I think that people fail to realize that pain is an emotion that is, it can go from one end of the spectrum to the other. It can be something that's devastating and toxic, but it can also be something that can be intoxicating. Because, see, it could be something that is just so, so bad for you, but it can also be something that feels good to you. And I know that sound, it may sound, you know, kind of strange, kind of out there. One thought process may be even a little kinky, but we're going to stay away from the kinky part. But, I mean, I know y'all want to talk about it, because, you know, we talk about everything in the red room. But the baggage part is what I want to talk about first. See, sometimes people make bad decisions, and we either end up hurting someone else or we even become hurt ourselves. But when you hurt someone else, the regret that can come from that can cause pain often deeper than being hurt. Because when you hurt somebody else, in the moment, you don't feel the pain. They feel it. But when you realize that it's a bad decision, you made a mistake, it's something that you should have done, then you start to feel the pain. But instead of you processing the regret that you feel for what you've done to someone else, you decide to inflict that pain on someone else, and you take it into the next relationship. Now, I'm sure most people think about, well, you know, I'm good now, I'm okay. But have you, I mean, I'm sure you've known someone that you know really wasn't good when they said they were. And what ended up happening was they walked into the next relationship and all they did was just drag their baggage into the next place.
Okay, yeah. What happens is this, and this is how I see it, and what I see maybe not be real, but I'm letting you know how I see it. When a person has been hurt, you know, especially when they gave their all, and they wind up being hurt, the next relationship is a little tainted because they are, I hate to say, use the word, using the next partner, because that's not what they're doing. It's just an emotional from they might have gave it all and has been hurt. The worst thing in the world in relationships is if you give your all and it doesn't turn out to be good. You know what I'm saying? My thing we need to do. Is there feedback coming on? I hear a lot of things going on, but I'm saying, my thing is this. If you in a relationship and you've been hurt before, you need to really try to figure out, get over that, because the next person didn't do that. Our subconsciousness makes us feel that we need to treat the other person with our guards up really high, and you really not seeing the person as they is. And that's where the problem comes in, because we don't see the person as they is, because they're not the person that did nothing to you, but, you know, you feel like, hey, I did all I can for this man or woman, and she shitted on me, and now I can't. You miss out on your blessings sometimes when you hold your baggage in, because guess what? The person that you're looking at, as God has let it sent to you, you might lose that because you're still scarred from a previous relationship. And that's where the problem comes in. You need to stop bringing it in. But subconsciously, you do it because guess what? That's all you know. You know what I'm saying? That's all you know. You only know what happened to you before.
But I'm saying, if you really wanted a real person, is that you need to build off the hurt, right? And try to do better. But the person that you meet now, he didn't do nothing to you. And sometimes you lose focus on what you have in front of you because of what you had before. I know you agree with me. You need to just clap. Everybody needs to clap because I'm telling you the truth.
You're right. I'm gonna give you a clap because that is so true. Because you're right. I think subconsciously, sometimes it's subconscious, but I think sometimes it's a learned behavior because it's all you've ever known. If all you've ever known is to be hurt and move on, and take the hurt from the last relationship, and you sometimes people. And this is the thing. We don't even realize sometimes what we're doing. And it's hard to recognize because we've never really addressed it. But sometimes that learned behavior, because it's all that we've ever known, ends up becoming the catalyst that takes us to the next relationship that ends that relationship the same way the other one did. Because, I mean, in my opinion, a lot of times, the next relationship is going to be nothing more than a repeat of what you had before, unless you make a change to do something different. And if it's baggage you're bringing into the next relationship, maybe that's what it is that you need to do that's different. James, I mean... do you think we're on the right path here with this, or do you have a different opinion? James, are you there?
Thumbs up. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, hit the wrong button on my phone. But I'm actually kind of like at a loss for words. I can't wrap my mind around it tonight. Like, it's very, both of you all at the point that, like, really had me stumped right now, as you can tell.
I think it's one of those where if it's something that you just never really thought about or never even processed or thought about yourself, it's kind of hard to... It's one of those things where it's hard to recognize. Sterling, we've had conversations before in previous radio shows about the baggage. Well, I mean, how do you feel about that baggage?
You guys know I could go all night on this conversation because this conversation has so much leaps and bounds. It's I call it the game of life. I know people may not be offended when I say the game of life, but it's really a game. Dating is a game. Marriage is a game. You have to know how to play the game. A lot of people cannot play this game, and when they cannot play this game, a lot of things comes into focus. You take it out on the kids. You take it out on the husband. You take it out on the people who don't even know you. And a lot of people brings it out in the form of stress. And if everybody out there doesn't understand stress kills, they need to understand stress kills because we bring baggage over from one relationship to the next. The relationship may not be the best. It may not be what we wanted out of the relationship. But guess what? We need to learn how to pick up and move on because if you can't play the game, you're going to suffer. And the people around you are going to be suffering even worse.
Right.
We need to know what is right from. We need to realize that these things play a very big part in our lives, and most people who don't know how to handle it, it has people out there who could help, but don't want to reach out for the help. And what can we do? Nothing but wait for them to ask for the help.
That's just one of those things that, I mean, it's so hard for people to understand that they can't take their baggage from one relationship to the next. And, you know, people say it, but it's like, it's it's almost like you just, yeah, okay, no, I don't have any baggage anymore. But if you still feel like, if you still get angry, or you still, because the anger is another, it's like another form of pain. Mm-hmm. Anger manifests from pain. And that's another part of the scenarios that, you know, that we're going to talk about tonight. But if you don't get it.
Shelly, before before you go there,
yeah.
Remind everybody what is the stages of grief.
Stage of what?
Grief.
There's seven stages of grief. And it's one of those where people don't believe that it's like, okay, you grieve and that's all it is. But there are processes that you go through when you grieve, and grieving is another form of experiencing pain. When you go through the seven stages of grief, you're going to deal with shock and denial. You're going to have to pain. If you go through a physical pain, sometimes your body experiences shock. If you've ever been in a car accident, or you've ever been cut yourself or broke a bone or whatever, the shock sometimes doesn't make you realize the severity of what has just happened to you. And then your mind simply says, oh, no, this can't be happening. So you're going to go through shock and denial. Then you're going to go through pain. That's when the suffering starts. That's when you start experience that excruciating, almost unbearable feeling that you don't want to have, but you know it's there. Then you're going to go through that stage of anger and bargaining. You're frustrated, which gives way to the anger, and you have a tendency to lash out, and you blame people, and it's everybody else's fault, because you have to find a way to cope with the pain. But then there's depression. You become depressed, and you realize that this is really happening to you. You start to reflect on your life. You start to realize that what happened to you is something that you could have seen. How did I miss this? How did this happen to me and I not know it? And then you're going to experience loneliness, because you're going to feel like there's nobody else there but me, because this doesn't happen to anybody else. And then you're going to go through, they say there's seven stages, but I think they're more importantly, there are five real stages that you actually process. Because then you're going to go through that return, where you're going to start feeling like things are better. And then you're going to see a certain point where you see there's a turn, there's a change. But then you're going to have to start going through the reconstruction. This is the place. The reconstruction stage and the working through stage is where you have a tendency to slip and go backwards. And it's not a normal, because sometimes people can go through the five stages of grief and go back two steps and go back, but it is the seventh step that is the most important, which is acceptance, accepting that the pain did happen. Accepting that whatever that was that happened in your life does exist. You're not ignoring it. It is what it is. I've accepted it. I've worked through it. And now I have the hope that something better for me. I've learned a lesson from it, whether it was my fault or not. But now I have the hope that I'm not going to have to go through that again. And if you do, guess what? You'll realize that you recovered from it the last time, so you can recover again. So, Sarilyn, that was a great point that you brought up, because if you can't recognize that there is a process that you have to go through, then you're never going to get through it. I mean,
don't forget when they start reckoning, this is the time that we have to reach out to our BFF. HSF, I don't even know what HSF is, and know that you have somebody in your corner to help you along the way, because this is a time that they need you. They need the support, no matter if it's good support or bad support. You just want to know that somebody is there for you to say, well, guess what, I got your back.
Exactly. Because pain is not something that we should be ashamed of. We all experience. We all go through it. We've all been, deceived by somebody or hurt by somebody at some point in our life. If you go through life and you've never been hurt, you have never lived. You've never opened your heart to anyone. You have never given to anyone. You've never lived. All you've done is existed in a world where everything was really about you and you were invincible.
You were in a bubble.
You're in a bubble. Exactly. So that is key. You have to find somebody that you can reach out to. And forget the shame and forget having to humble yourself to somebody and say, well, you know what, my heart is broken right now and I don't even know how to deal with this pain. You have to deal with it, because if you don't, you're gonna carry that baggage somewhere else in your life. The next thing that you're going to do is, or could possibly happen is, another scenario, is you ignore it. I'm good. Oh, yeah, this happened to me. It's no big deal. I'm used to this. If a person says that they're used to pain, they've never processed pain. That's just my opinion. And no one should ever be used to pain. But when you ignore it, sweep it under the rug, guess what? It's going to resurface. At some point, it's going to resurface, and it's going to rear its ugly head, and it's going to hit you at a time where you're not prepared for it. You don't even understand how to deal with it, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. And most importantly, it's going to hurt yourself, because when you ignore pain, it puts you in a place of denial. And denial is toxic. Denial is so toxic. It's probably one of the biggest lies that you can live in your life. And it results in self-destructive behavior. When you ignore pain, you have a tendency to do so many things. I mean, we can go from you become a workaholic, you become an alcoholic, you become a drug addict, you become promiscuous, you become a homebody. You seclude yourself away from other people because you just are ignoring the pain. So that, and then, you know, and that's when we have to take a look at people in our lives sometimes. And this is when it's important to reach out, because if you have a friend, a family member, somebody that you know, where their behavior changes so drastically that you see any of these things happening, you have to reach out and say, is everything okay? You know, are you going through something? Because I'm here for you. And don't just ignore the answer that they give you and think it's okay, because it's necessary. It's not always okay. Because sometimes people, when they ignore the pain, they put themselves in a position where it becomes comfortable for them. Pain is just, it's their comfort zone because they don't want to deal with it. And I remember somebody telling me a story a long time ago, not a long time ago, but a few years ago, about this person walking down the street. This man's walking down the street and hears this howling noise, and it sounds like a dog howling. And the dog sounds like it's in so much pain. And he keeps walking, and the further he walks, the louder that noise gets. And he's just so concerned, because it's like he hears the pain in this noise, this howling that he hears. So he finally walks, and he gets to this one house, and he realizes that's where the noise is coming from. So he goes to the house, and he knocks on the door, and someone answers, and he says, sir, this sounds like a dog howling in your backyard. Is the dog okay? And the man said, yeah, he's okay. He said, but how could he be okay? He sounds like he's in so much pain. He said, he is. He said, but aren't you going to do anything to help him? He said, nope. He said, well, why? He said, he's out there, he's sitting on a nail. Well, when the pain is bad enough, he'll get up off of it. sometimes we have to recognize if we are in that comfort zone and that pain is what makes us comfortable, nobody's going to be able to make you move from it. But it gets to a point where you have to say, when you've had enough, you'll know it. So I go back to the whole topic of face your pain instead of inflicting your pain. And facing your pain is sometimes getting off the nail. The pain, it's not going to go away unless you do something about it. You can't take it to the next relationship, and you can't ignore it. So I just want some feedback as to, I mean, am I on the right page with the whole what happens when you ignore the pain?
Yeah.
Or is there, like, a different perspective to this?
I agree. And I'm saying it from a personal standpoint, like, it took me a long time to, and so you know some of it, to get over a lot. And I'm the type of person to, kind of brush stuff off sometimes. I've done a lot better with it, but when I paid everything no attention and tried to push everything on the back burner and ignore it, sooner or later it came out. And, like, I would never, this has been like 3 times in the past 5 years that I, like, really spazzed out and took me out of my character. So people look at me kind of funny, like, okay, so maybe he really is not as calm as we think he is. Not saying it's a bad thing to push him away from me, but they found out that, you know, I had a big heart and I was very serious about certain things, which brought me to the breakdowns that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it took me, let's say, a few years to get together and learn how to be upfront about certain things that were bothering me, because if I continue to hold it in and I don't talk about it to somebody, or if I don't address the person that, you know, is angering me, for, you know, lack of words, I explode. So why not talk about it? That way I can let it out. Once the conversation is done with, I can put it on the back burner and then move on with my life. It's easy to excel versus dwelling on the bad happening, you know?
Right. And that's part of the exploding. It's part of the self-destructive behavior, because it's not good for you to do that.
Right. But you know something, Shelley? To realize is you have to find the source of the pain. And once you find
Absolutely.
The source of the pain, you could it takes a while, because, you know, a lot of people are on the outside looking in. They don't know what you're dealing with. So they have a lot of they speak about things, they speak about this, they speak about that, but they don't know the source of the pain. And sometimes people hide the source of the pain because that's the problem where it comes from. Either you are part of it, you're building it, or you the source of the pain. And once you find
right.
out what the source is, then if you can get past that, then I guarantee you have a better welcome on any incoming relationship you might encounter. Because guess what? If you keep dwelling on the past or the last relationship, and you're not really over it, you're never going to find or give it the right person what they need to be in your life. Because guess what? Your guard is too high. And guess what? God is good. See, God puts people in your life. But guess what? If your guard is up too high, the person that's supposed to be for you will walk right past you. So you need to make sure that you understand that. You got to understand that you need to, as a whole, get over that last one. Don't bring the new into the last one, because you're never going to find comfort. Because if the person
right.
you gave your all to and he shit on you, and then the next person comes in, you're going to be so, your guard's going to be so hard up that the person that you're going to say, wait a minute, I didn't do nothing to you. And you're not giving them a chance. So in
right.
life is that you need to give some people a chance you know, the new person is a new beginning, you know, and now I'm saying if you see things that the replica of the past, then you act on it. But until that happens, give the next person a chance. Because
right.
you and self-pity. Get Sherilyn, I hate you.
I want to do something. I want to do something before we get off to let everybody else speak. I want to say something to you guys, and I want to see what your response will be, okay?
Go for it.
Remember when you bring a child into this world, and there's a saying out there, the child is placed in your care. The child was placed in your care, and you have to teach, nourish, educate, to send this child out in the world so this child could be a member of society, okay? One of the
uh-huh.
things that we do, one of the things that we do from a child is we mimic what we see our parents do.
Yeah.
We see our parents fight, we turn out to be a fighter. We see our parents sit down rationally and rationalize something that they do, explain to us why we do it, why it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, why it's not a good thing to sit down by the table each evening and sit down and talk about the day and bring up all the conversations that we have. We turn out to be good little people because that is what our parents used to do. But when we don't have parents that teaches us the way to adapt to things, to how to show emotion, how to not do the bad thing, or how to justify the things that we do, it all goes back to what we were taught. People don't necessarily have that tools because they was not given those tools as children.
So what
and
you're
the
saying
last,
is if we don't allow our children to see us experience pain and process pain and work through pain, when it hits them in real life, they're going to be totally lost.
There you go. Let me give you a joke. It's not a joke, but it works, okay? My sister and I came to this country a long time ago. And the people that we used to work with, it's frustrating to see people do things behind closed doors, and when they're in public, they're perfect. Okay? We had a joke. As a joke, we used to go in Rock Creek Park, and when we see all this stupidity every day that people do, we just want, you know, you can't say anything while you're around these people because you don't want them to think you're crazy, no? Right? So as a joke, we used to go to Rock Creek Park and just scream. Nobody never take us up and carry us to the crazy house. You know, it never happened. But people do not have the outlet to wear their frustrations, and they don't know how to channel it. So this is what happens. They go from one bad relationship to the next carried over, and they never realize when to get off that goddamn nail. They were never taught.
That's an interesting point. Very, very interesting. All right, I'm going to step into the third scenario. And this is one that I don't think people realize. This is one of the ones that I think that is so subtle, but yet so dangerous because it's hard to recognize. The next one is when a person experiences pain, and this is the scenario. Two people are in a relationship, and it can be a marriage, relationship, friendship, just any kind of personal relationship that you have had with someone where there is a giving, caring type of interaction. Someone gets hurt, and the person that hurt the other person recognizes the mistake. They feel bad for it. They want to redeem themselves, and they ask for forgiveness. The person who has been hurt agrees to stay in that relationship. But the person who has been hurt now feels they have the upper hand. So they end up becoming an emotional bully. Because they feel at that point, treat you how I want to treat you. I can talk to you how I want to talk to you. I can do what I want to do because you are still trying to redeem yourself and you are still in the process of forgiveness. And that process of forgiveness, instead of the two people working together to reach the point of forgiveness, the person who has been hurt becomes a bully. Now, it may seem like it's a, I don't even understand that. But it does happen. And what that bullying does is that person who's the emotional bully, so empowered, they become so intoxicated. Now, the first two scenarios we talked about, the bringing the baggage into the next relationship, that's toxic. Ignoring it is toxic. But being the bully, that becomes intoxicating. That's that pain that you felt, that you felt it, but as a result of feeling that pain, it feels good to you now. You're intoxicated by the fact that you felt that pain, but you have a certain amount of control because the person who caused that pain has humbled themselves to you. So now you are in control. This person becomes so powerful within their own mindset that they feel like they can treat you the way that they want to treat you.
So what about the kids who are seeing it every day? What about the kids that you're showing people, you're showing your own kids how to manipulate, how to be ruthless.
And that's all it is.
And taking it into the next relationship that they have.
That they have. It's a form of manipulation. You are teaching your children how to manipulate people through pain. Instead of teaching your children how to experience pain, like you said, Sherilyn, if they know and understand, my mom's been hurt, my dad's been hurt, I know this is the greatest situation, but I saw how they dealt with the pain. So now I'm going to grow up and I'll know how to deal with each and every situation. But because I never saw how it was dealt with, they become totally clueless. But the emotional bully, that person is so dangerous because it is almost like a hive that they experience. And they don't just do it at home. Guess where it goes?
But Shelley, don't forget, they think no consequences coming out of that. But guess on the underline, how that person feels when they're by themselves, when they have to be accountable for themselves. You think that person is going to be having a good life? All they're thinking about is how to get even. Their life is on a back burner because they're worrying too much about how to screw the other person over. So that person doesn't have a good life.
You're right, they don't. But guess what? They step back into scenario number two, and they're actually ignoring it. So not only are they ignoring the pain, they're becoming a bully. And that is probably the worst situation that anybody could ever be in. Because it's going to be that whole underlying just not dealing with the pain and ignoring it, which creates a self-destructive behavior. But then they become a bully and inflict pain on the person that they are supposed to be, you know, working through the process of, you know, moving past the pain. So, I mean, I feel like I'm doing too much talking. So I just want... I want us to talk about this emotional bully because this is another topic that I want to have because it is something that people even realize that they are in relationships where that's happening. And I want to bring it to the forefront Because if you don't know, a lot of times we don't know. We don't see things because, again, I have this I so believe in how we have these rose-colored glasses that we put on, and we want to see people and we want to see the world for what we want it to be, but not for what it really is. So, Vic, James, I mean, am I on the right page with this? Or is this just a little soapbox that I'm saying for myself?
Definitely you're on the right page. But that's why I'm quiet, because I'm just listening and learning. Like,
I mean, it's an eye-opener. I mean, I can't say that I've ever been emotionally bullied for you know, in that respect. But I've seen it. I mean, I've experienced emotional pain through other processes of just, I've experienced it from, you know, ignoring situations and, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think I've ever really dragged baggage from one relationship to the next because I have a tendency to try to process things. I mean, my mind just doesn't work to that place where I just, oh, this happened and I'm just going to keep it moving. I process things. I am guilty of the ignoring, and I will say that it has affected my personality in certain ways, but I've recognized it and at some point have been able to bring myself back. But the emotional bullying, I mean, when this was a scenario that I became aware of, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, people really do this? I mean, Vic, I know you know a lot of people. Can you relate to anything that it is that, you know, that I'm talking about in this bullying?
Okay, Shelley, let me speak for a minute. I'm sorry, I've been cutting us off and being in the queue like three times. I'm letting you know one thing. One thing about emotionally bullying is a thing that, you know, you start to endure early in the relationship. I mean, you know, so you could stop that at any time as far as if you're vulnerable. If you're vulnerable, bullying is a thing that happens if you let it go once and then people continue to do certain things. My thing is this. Part of the emotional bullying, you have to stand up early in a relationship. Once a person knows they can say things that make you, you know, be rude and tear you down, and they know they can do that, then they know that's a source of your pain. So what I'm saying is that if a person is bullying you, bullying is a big thing now in our culture because it's a thing that everybody's dealing with.
Yeah, it started with kids. So do you think they see this at home? Where do they get this from? Where do the kids
because
get this bullying from? You think it's where it comes from?
The source, because they see it. If a father is always tearing their wife down and the kids see that, guess what? They're going to do that too. But my thing is this. If you stand up to a bully, trust me, a lot of times a bully is a punk. A bully is a person that if a person that stands up to them, they run away faster than the person that they would try to do the same thing to. Through experience, you have to stand up. But if you're a person that doesn't stand up, that's why they know they can do things and say things. Because I'm telling you one thing, verbal abuse is sometimes worse than being smacked in the face.
Absolutely.
Because it scars you. It scars you within. I mean, it's like a sword just in your skin. So you have to really, really understand verbal abuse. That's why you see a lot of people, a lot of kids or a lot of young people, once they get verbally abused in school or something like that, you see that they commit suicide. It's a really serious effect. And you have to endure and try to make sure that stops early. So the bully is a punk. You know what I'm saying? It's a punk. If you really stand up to a bully, you ever seen a bully be stand up to? He's a punk. He tried to say, oh, my God, I can't do it to him. But he'll do it to the next person that's weaker. So emotional bullies need to be stopped in the beginning. If you let it keep going, then guess what? You're going to be fall a victim to that. That's what I have
I
to
love
say
that.
About it.
Yeah. I love that. I loved it. I loved it. I can add one more thing onto that. Women out there doesn't know, or half of them do not have a voice. I can't tell you why they don't have a voice. They just don't have a voice. But one thing I could say, men do talk to men, but women are afraid to talk to another woman. And until women get out of this emotional BS that they have, that they have to hold it in and talk about it with their girlfriends, then they realize we all go through some kind of emotional bully. But what it comes down to, we have to learn to talk about it, because it can be resolved. But they have to be willing to come out of that stage and talk to somebody.
That is true.
I want to open up the lines to anyone who is listening in the Red Room tonight that has something that they'd like to add to our topic for tonight. We still do have the scarlet envelope. But I think tonight's topic was just so powerful amongst us that, I mean, if there's anybody that has something that they would like to add, please press 1 on your phone. We would like to open up your lines so we can welcome you into the Red Room. I know that what we've talked about tonight is either something that either just makes you think, or it's like, nope, it doesn't pertain to me. And if it doesn't, I'm so feeling great for you. But if there's anybody that you know that has experienced any of the things that we have talked about, please have them listen to see if there's, you know, something that to address. Process the pain, because it's not good to go through things in life and ignore them, or to take the baggage on to the next level, or, you know, decide that I'm going to react from my pain and become a bully. It's not good. So if there's anybody that would like to add to that, I know tonight probably might be a little bit too personal, but if it is, I understand. If not, then we're going to move on to the scarlet envelope. You guys, before I close out this part of the topic, is there anything anybody else has to add? Because I know
yes.
It was just...
Pick me.
What is it you'd like to add, Sarah?
I know Vic doesn't know you that well. I know, but Shelley had a good idea once upon a time. This is my opportunity to get her to do it again, because I know there's lots of women out there that has things on their mind that just need somebody to hang out with or somebody to talk to. Once in a while, we used to have a women's group. And I could attest to the fact that that women's group, a lot of good things came out of it. And I would love her to consider, when she gets to that point that she can have company again, that she would consider doing it again.
That is definitely something that I want to do. I agree with you, Sherilyn. It was a lot of great things came out of it. I mean, we started out with, you know, we would all come together. And these events were, you know, positive and motivational. And what ended up happening was a group of women who most of us didn't even know each other, but it was like one person knew one person, and they invited somebody else, and it was just, we all came together, had fun. But we started learning things about ourselves that we wanted to do, but we didn't want to tell anybody else because we didn't know anybody that would want to. We connected in ways that helped each other know that either I'm missing something in my life and there's somebody else that's interested, or, wow, I've gone through this, or I'm going through this and I'm not alone. So that is definitely something that I am going to, I'm working on just putting all these pieces together in my life to to do that again. But I will say that, Sherilyn, as great as that idea is that I had, that, you know, that we did for the women's group, I really think that there are men that should get together and do the same thing. Men should not always get together and just pour out their testosterone and, yeah, I'm this and I'm that, and, yeah, man, I'm good and I'm dapping and I'm high-fiving. How about men come together and say, you know what, dude?
Sorry, a co-ed group is something that you need to try to do. Because
exactly.
If you do a woman's group, I can just love being that. Part of the woman's group.
I like that, the co-ed group.
The co-ed group.
You wanted something.
Starring Vic
It'd
Love.
It'd be very interesting.
Vic, you had to find a way to put your men in there, right? It's all right.
You know,
we can handle you guys. We can handle
guys. No. It's not a battle of sexes. It's a group that we talk about things that groups do, women and men.
Exactly.
How about that?
It's true.
Because guess what? A lot of people are a lot of people don't talk much. A lot of people are just listening. A lot of people need to hear, and then they find out that guess what? They're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And men are not alone. They're dealing with the same things, craziness, the same skeletons in the closet. Guess what? Once you start talking about it, people say, guess what? I'm not alone. And that's key. As long as people can relate, guess what? You're on to something really big, and which we're trying to do. Because guess what? A lot of people are sitting around, and a lot of people listen to us tonight. And they want to say, wow, I thought I was alone with that. I thought that my man treated me this way, and guess what? People are doing it all over the place. We need to start relating. We are a voice here in the real
world. And guys, I am working on her. I am working on her every day that I think about it, because she has a name for a group, and she could say what she wants. She has a name for this group. And I'm going to work on her and make sure she does it, because we so do need a group, and our group can do so much things for so many people, hanging out, doing things together. Why not? There's a need for it.
Exactly. It is.
You're
it
right.
really is. And, you know, and the great thing about it is I've always said that, you know, there's a misconception that men have that when women get together, we male bash, but we don't. We don't male bash. We either talk about what it is that we want to do in our lives or we haven't done, or, you know, our dreams, our aspirations,
think,
and our goals.
But Shelly, I don't think you're male bash. I think you're male.
No, we don't.
No, I'm saying you don't male bash. I think you're really like get together and figure out what males do, not bashing them.
Without
you know
us. No, we don't. What men do without us.
See,
exactly.
See, Sherilyn, you always go there.
I always go where?
And you always go there as far as, like, you know, without us. What do you mean without us?
But guess
I can't get the right pronunciation, because but without us, what are you talking about?
Well, let me put it this way.
Yes.
We think you guys are so mysterious, and you guys think we're so mysterious. And guess what? We talk about the same things you guys talk about. But the fact that we can't go and be in the same room together and realize we both saying the same thing, we're always going to be a mystery if we don't get in that one room.
Okay. Right,
see, you see how simple that was? You see how simple that
was?
Hey, Shelly.
I think you made her quiet. I think you made her quiet.
No.
I think we need to put this group together real. I think we need to put this co-ed group together really quickly.
You're right. But Shelly, is there scarlet letter tonight?
Yes, there is.
Okay, before
we
get too late, people.
We need to get to the scarlet envelope. Okay, Victor. Are you ready to open the scarlet envelope? Who's reading the scarlet envelope tonight? Is
you
James
are.
James or Victor?
I think Graham.
I am.
James is going to do it tonight.
I got you.
Come on,
James.
Let's go.
Y'all ready?
Come on, James.
Welcome to the scarlet letter.
What is
Dear
hot
Red
in the envelope tonight?
Dear Red Room, I need your advice again. And to put this plain and simple, is it possible to love two people at the same time? Not to get this confused with some sex-crazed person, but actually have feelings and romantic feelings, caring and loving for another person while you're in a relationship. Sincerely, Huge Heart.
Huge Heart, let me go forward. You know I like
No.
Come on.
No. Sarah Lynn, I love you, but guess what? Hold on 1 second. Rick Love got one thing to say. You can love two people at the same time, but it might be different levels.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I'm just saying this because... Oh boy, and the letter, you know, he tried to, you know, break it down. But listen to me, you can love two people at the same time. But
you said he. How do you know one is she?
I'm sorry.
You said he. Why? How do you know one is she? Maybe she loves two men at the same time.
Yeah, and guess what? See, your ladies know how to love more than one because the guy thinks he's doing something. Women, y'all can do things that a man can never, ever, 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 ever do. And I'm telling you the truth, because I guess what? I was at a barbershop, and we was talking to some people, and guess what? The guy said that some guy was talking, right? And one guy was saying like this, oh, I do this to my wife, and I do this. And that. First of all, he shouldn't be saying that in the barbershop amongst a lot of other men. Because let me tell you something.
Right.
You women can do anything that you want to do as far as sexually and emotionally. Sexually, because guess what? You can go and have sex for like 25, 30 minutes and do your thing, and the man think he did all he can do, and he can leave out the door. And you guys, y'all can make yourself just wash up and do another 30, 40 minutes with the next man. So you're amazing. Women, you're amazing. And guys are so stupid because they think they hit it. I hit it right. They think they got hair on their chest. They ain't did nothing. You women are a miracle worker. I learned.
She probably on the phone with her girlfriends right now.
Am I right, James?
She probably on the phone with her girlfriends right now talking about this nigga.
I'm saying.
And he
go home and say, oh, I just tore it up. He ain't tearing nothing up, son. You need to just take care of your woman and make sure she remembers you when she's at work after the fact. Women, you're amazing. So you can love more than one. Sherilyn, you're up.
Okay. I agree 100% with Vic. She was on the right page. He had the same thoughts
Lord.
That I do. Yes, it's truth. It is truth. We love people for different reasons. So long as we keep it in perspective, what's real and what's not real. So after Vic, there's nothing else I can add to that. It was exactly what I wanted to put out there.
All right, James, you're up.
I guess we're all in agreement today.
I could take the whole politically correct approach and say, oh, the heart can only love one person at a time. But my thing is this. I don't understand how a person can't think that you can love more than one person at a time. As Sarah Lynn said, you can love them for different reasons. I mean, you have more than one child. Your heart can distribute love to each child. The heart is capable of loving more than one person at a time. You love your children. You love your spouse. You love your sister, your siblings. You love multiple people. So why is it supposed to be that your heart can only love one person when it comes to being in a relationship? Now, it's your choice as to whether you choose more than one person to be in a relationship with. If you choose only one person to be in a relationship, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be you make that choice. It just happens. The heart loves who the heart loves. It may not always be right. It may not be what's politically correct. It may not be what's biblically correct. The heart loves who the heart loves. So, huge heart, I say to you, yes, it is possible. I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never had it had the experience before myself. Sometimes in the process of dating, when you aren't at that place of being committed and you're dating, there's nothing wrong with seeing this person and seeing that person. And I'm not saying it has to go beyond getting to know you. I'm not. That's every person's option. But you can have feelings of affection or love for someone and then meet someone and you have the same feelings and affection toward that person too. So it is possible. But I will say this. I don't even know. I can't even remember, and I should be ashamed because my daddy would probably smack me right now if I did not know who this song was by. Remember Victor the song, Trying to Love Too? Sure ain't easy to do. It's not going to be easy. And at some point, you are going to have to make a choice because both people aren't going to understand that you love both of them. But it is 100% possible to love two people at one time. And if you find a situation where both people are understanding of that, then let's
more power
go
to
back
you.
To the show. More power to you. Yes, absolutely. Because let's go back to the show where we talked about the open relationship is more common than you think. So, I mean, sometimes we have to let society and with, you know, popular opinions determine what's best for our lives. My thing is this. Bob Marley had a quote, and I'm not going to quote it exactly as the same the way that he said it, but to sum it up, he basically said, in this life, I have to live my life for myself and do what makes me happy. Because at the end of the day, if you didn't live for me, you're not going to die for me. So what you judge me and say is not right, when it comes time for me to be judged, you are not going to stand in line and step in place for me. So huge heart, if you love two people, I say be happy. Make both of them happy. I'm sure they love you too. So it's just everybody being happy. Nobody's being hurt. Everybody's being happy. So with that being said, I could get into my two cents tonight, but I really don't have, my mind is just kind of all over the place with my two cents. So I'm going to save it, and I'm going to give a double dose next week. So y'all better look out, because next week I'm going to have my 4 cents. I just have so many things that I could expand on, so I'm just going to leave it alone. And I'm just going to say, everybody, I think we had an awesome show tonight. I'm so glad that, you know, everybody was here with us. We had a lot of people that were on the line. I think we touched some folks that just wasn't ready to talk. But I just think we need to keep doing
Shelly,
exactly what it is we're doing. Yes.
I got 2 cents.
Go for
and
it.
And I just thank you.
Dick loves my 2 cents.
My 2 cents is this. I think that is Lady T here?
Lady T's not
in
with us tonight.
Okay, guess what? My 2 cents is this. If you're not about positive stuff on the Red Room, because we are a really good team. And there's no I in team, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no I in
right?
team.
Right.
No.
So we need to concentrate more on giving out the positive message to our people. And if people don't want to be a part of it, let's say bye. Because I don't care. I'm dealing with something tonight. My wife is sick. And I'm in the room with her tonight, doing the Red Room from the hospital. But at the same time, it's just that dedication. See, it's all about being a part. When you're a part of something, be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? My wife's sick, and I said, guess what, Shelly? She said, maybe not, Vic, you maybe not don't want to be on tonight. No, Vic Love is going to be in the house.
Because guess what? We have a message to send to our people that's listening. And if we don't have a message, then kill a messenger. Because we are
right.
on top of this. All right?
Right.
My two cents is this. If we ain't going to be a part of it, if people are not going to be on board to be a part of the Red Room, Shelly, I love you. Thank you for doing this. But if they can't do it, we got to say thank you. The same way you said come and be a part of it, we got to be the same way we say bye and see you later. On that note, God bless you all. I had a great time tonight. Shelly, you had a great show. We had a great show, James. It was beautiful. And everybody that's listening, if your radio or phone ain't on the Red Room, your phone or radio is not on. Good night.
Victor, prayers to your wife. Please let her know that we need her 100% because she's the backbone and you the support. So just give her our prayers. Please just let her know we're praying for her.
Yes, we are. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks again, everyone, for joining
us.
Good night, everybody. We will be back next week on Tuesday night, and we will see you then. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your prayers. My wife, she appreciates it, and I guarantee you'll hear more from her. Take care.
Yes, please.
Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night.